Unashamed is about know it. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to one of my favorite passages of Scripture in Romans chapter 10. And as you turn there today, our goal for today is that you would get to understand the truths of the gospel in a greater way than you've ever understood them before. When I was finished my freshman year in college, I went a part of a summer-long kind of intensive missionary training program kind of deal. The first month we were trained in the States. The second month we went to a mission field somewhere in the 1040 window. You'll learn more about that this week. And then the third month we spent time in the States doing youth camps. The first month the training was kind of crazy, okay? We were normally in a classroom setting from about 8 to 5, where we had to read about a few books a week. We had to memorize a lot of scripture. We had a lot of things we had to read and discuss. And then, like I said, these guys would literally be pouring into us all day. You sort of felt like you were trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. It was so intense, okay, what they would be teaching us. Then in the evening, this is how crazy these guys were, okay? They would, like, take us in a van downtown in Denver and sort of, like, blindfold us on the way there, drop us off at this spot and said, find your way back to camp, good luck, and just leave us there. And in the evening, we'd have to literally, like, wander through Denver, and then all of a sudden, we'd finally make our way back a few hours later, and then the guys would come in and say, all right, I want everybody, when we say three, point to the person who guided you here the most, who was the most influential team member during this trip back, and it would go one, two, three, and everybody sort of point their fingers, and then whoever got the most fingers, basically, were the team leader when you went to the country. And it's like, I mean, it was just intense what they did all the time. Well, I remember the day that they were going to train us to share the gospel, which some of you guys will be doing today and going out in places. They were going to drop us off in the Denver Mall and cause us just to share the faith all Saturday is what we're going to do. So on Friday afternoon, we're getting trained, and this guy's asking us, all right, when you're just doing that cold call evangelism, walking up to somebody in the mall, and if they say this, what are you going to say? And it's like, you know, you ever feel that pressure like you're hoping somebody else raises their hand in the class, right? I'm hoping that. And I remember that he'd asked some question. I can't remember what the question was. All I remember is he just says, so what are you going to say? And we're all looking, and he's just quiet. And he goes, you're going to tell them Luke 13:3, right? And I went, yes. And he goes, what's Luke 13:3? And I'm like, he goes, don't look it up. You're not going to have that in your hand. I was like, I don't know what it is. He goes, you don't know it. I was like, I don't know what Luke 13:3 is. I'm literally having this moment. I'm overwhelmed. And listen, from this day, I've never forgotten this verse, and you probably won't either. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. I was scared to death. I memorized that all night because I was afraid he's going to ask me. And I remember, though, they kept training us because they said, you never know when you're going to be able to express your faith or be asked the question. 1 Peter 3:15 says it this way. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you, what is the hope that's within you? Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. We were actually in our foreign country in Asia when we were one night literally sitting at the church that we were at, and all of a sudden a door comes, the door knocked, and somebody walks up to it, and all of a sudden we're looking down over the rail to see who's at the church to come visit us. We thought maybe some of our friends, the college students, and we open up the door, and it's some Americans, and somebody ran down like, oh, we get to speak English to some other people, like, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden goes, oh, they're Mormon missionaries. And no lie, there's this guy goes, oh, like ducks. And I was like, do they have guns? Like, why were you like ducking? Like, they literally like fell down. I was like, what's the matter? And he's like, Bo, they know their stuff. And I was like, know what stuff? And like, they're so trained and they're so ready. Like, they're going to wax the floor with us. And I was like, what? And, I mean, I was scared. I was terrified. I didn't know what these guys were going to do. But in this moment, they said, no, look, you got to understand it. So these guys sat down, and one of the guys told me, I remember them saying, man, don't you wish, oh, so-and-so was here, or so-and-so, like the guys who had trained us? Don't you wish they were here? Because, man, they would just annihilate them. And I'm like, is that the goal? You know, but they came in, and I remember one of the guys said, what's different about those guys back there that trained us? Isn't the same Holy Spirit that indwells in them the same Holy Spirit who dwells within us? And then someone else replies in the room, yeah, but the Holy Spirit sure has a lot more to work with in his heart than in ours. And it really came down to this issue that we see in Romans chapter 10. We had not studied ourselves to show ourselves approved, accurately handling the word of truth, what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Let me read these verses to you real quick. Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. You have anybody in your life right now that you're just hoping they get saved, they become a Christian? Anybody, you got somebody like that? You're like, yeah, I'm really praying this? Okay, look. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So did you catch that? They're ignorant of what it means to live for Jesus, so they're just sort of making it up on their own. They're creating their own thing. Why? Because they don't know what the scriptures teach, and so they're going to just sort of come up with their own version of it. Can I just tell you that's happening in your culture today? They don't know it, and so they just sort of come up with it. That's why one of the most prolific statements in all of Bible studies is, what does this mean to you, or what do you think God is like? And everybody's got their own answers. Look at verse 2 one more time. It says this, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Can I just tell you that this is very representative of many people in American Christianity right now? They have a zeal for God. That means that you're passionate about God. That means that you're excited about God, but there's no knowledge associated with it. You go, oh man, school's out. Why we gotta be talking about knowledge? Here's the deal, is that when you look at this passage, what you really need to make sure you understand is that there are people in this room, there are people that you're gonna meet today that have a zeal, a passion for the Lord, but it doesn't match up with what Scripture teaches. So many people will come into a place like this and get really excited about worship, and they will lift their hands and they will sing and they will really get excited about it, but they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a good theologically, like, biblical song versus a song that you literally could have some teeny bopper singing about her boyfriend and not to change the lyrics and sing in a church setting. Y'all do know there are songs like that, right? That there's no content. It's just literally like there's no, and we have a zeal and a passion to sing because it sort of feels good and we get these emotional, like, goosebumps going on. But there's no truth to it. So many people would love to go and serve. Some of you are like excited. Yeah, I'm gonna go hand out this and go help out there. But when it came down to, now why are you here? Why are you doing this? You're gonna go, I don't know what to say. And it's not because you don't have a passion. It's because you've never worked hard at learning this. And I know this about you, is that if you really want to know something, you will figure it out. My wife's car was broken a few months ago, and I remember that I'm like, I'm not going to pay that guy to fix that. And I got on YouTube, and I saw this guy named Bubba, and he's got this little camera in his garage going, now what you want to do here is get under the car. And I'm watching Bubba. He's got a little midriff shirt going on. It was awesome. I learned everything from Bubba, and I fixed that car. I'm awful at this stuff, but why did I do it? Because if you really want to know something, you will figure it out. I know that about you. And so this, not just having this zeal, it's not enough. In fact, I want you to think about this line right here. Sincerity does not guarantee accuracy. Sincerity, being sincere about your beliefs, does not guarantee accuracy. You can be sincerely wrong, church, right? You can go and say, well, I think God's like this, or I think mission's like this, I think the Bible is, and you can be sincerely wrong. Just having a belief about it isn't enough. It needs to be correct. And we cannot love Jesus completely while neglecting to study his word wholeheartedly. Let me say that again. We cannot love Jesus completely while neglecting to study his word wholeheartedly. When I was your age, I had a zeal for the Lord. I had a passion for the Lord. People would say, man, he gets really excited about the Lord and about even doing mission work for the Lord. But I was so foreign to this. I tremble of thinking of some of the Bible studies that I gave and probably going, you know, I think God's like this. I'd find a clever little illustration and try to attach a verse to it versus let me teach what the Bible is teaching. That summer when I was in there and those Mormon missionaries came in and everybody is scared to death, and then we're working with Buddhists and we're working with all types of different people, I got so tired that summer of people asking me what God thinks about this or what does God's word say about that. And they'd say, Travis, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. And they'd ask me questions like this. Do you believe everything in the Bible? And I'd say, I believe everything. You believe everything? I'm like, I believe the table of contents, even down to the maps, man. I believe every single word of the Bible. And then the question was followed by this. Have you read every word of the Bible? And at that point, I could not say that I had. So I made it my goal I was going to read the Bible. It wasn't enough, and not just reading isn't enough. I got to the place where I was so overwhelmed because people would say, what does the Bible say about this? And what, you know, what does God think about this? And I go, you know, somewhere in the Bible, it talks like, you know, like in the New Testament, that Jesus loves you. this I know. Really, where's that at? Somewhere on the right side, kind of, you know, you need to know that, okay? I got so tired of not being able to defend my faith or to be able to articulate it. And what it really came down to was that I wasn't in this word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, for training, for reproof, the training of righteousness so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word is living and active. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have success. Ezra 7:10 says, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it to someone else. That's what my prayer is for you guys today, that you would today say, I'm gonna set my heart in the next little bit when we go to Bible study to study the word, and then I'm gonna figure out, is there something that I need to apply, something that I need to do, and then I'm gonna figure out, is there somebody that I need to share this with today. This word is truth. And we can have a zeal for the Lord, but have no knowledge of the Lord. And I'm praying that today what he's going to supply in each of us is more of the knowledge of his word. And so, Jesus, I ask in your power that today you would come and do a mighty work in us, that we would cause to know your word in a greater sense and to know you. Lord, help us know this gospel and have a zeal for you with the knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.